integrity in each of the services is also critical to a strong military. General Amos, I have become friends with Major James Wyrick, United States Marine Corps, who I sincerely believe is a man of integrity. Did you fear Major Wyrick at any point?
My name is James Wyrick, and this is Military Justice, my podcast about the system of justice that governs those who protect our nation.
The United States Marine Corps said Thursday a recruit killed himself in March amid widespread hazing at Parris Island. Now the Marine Corps is recommending punishment and, in some cases, charges for up to 20 officers there. Investigators.
No news conference is scheduled related to the death here on Friday of 20-year-old recruit Raheel Siddiqui of Taylor, Michigan. Public Affairs telling us this morning no announcements planned until the investigation into the cause of Mr. Siddiqui's death is complete.
Welcome back to Military Justice. Thank you for joining us again. Today we're joined by Todd South. Todd is a former active duty Marine who is now a reporter for the Marine Times. I think you'll enjoy our discussion. We talk about possible ongoing courts martial and some reporting he's been doing with a colleague down at Marine Corps Recruit Depot, Parris Island, all resulting from a suicide that occurred about a year and a half ago. Today we're joined by Todd South of the Marine Corps Times. Todd, thank you for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.
How'd you become a reporter for the, are you with the Military Times and the Marine Times, or how exactly does that work?
Yes, the Military Times is the kind of umbrella organization that houses all the publications, Marine Corps Times, Army Times, Navy Times, Air Force Times. And my specific job actually runs pretty much all of them, but basically Army and Marine Times. I'm the ground combat reporter. And I'm kind of new to the position, new to the organization. I just started here in April.
So what'd you do before you were a ground combat reporter for the Marine Times?
A long arc of that. I was enlisted active duty Marine Corps. Prior to becoming a journalist, I served 5 years on active duty from 98 to 03. And then when I got out, went back to school on the GI Bill for journalism, and then subsequently worked for a number of local and regional newspapers in the South and also in New Jersey most recently before I took this job.
So, tell us, what's going on down at Parris Island?
Well, I'll do a couple quick caveats on that. One, as I said, I'm new to the organization, so there's been just a treasure trove of good reporting done by my predecessors and my current colleagues, one by name, Jeff Shogel. He's like the lead reporter from Marine Corps Times on a lot of the incidents that are kind of wrapped up within the most recent cover story that we had. And that goes back to 2015 at least, maybe further. And I was basically tasked, because Jeff was busy on another story, I was tasked with attending the Article 32 hearing for Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Kassoon on June 5th. And that became a marathon 14-hour hearing where pretty much, you know, a lot of stuff that was previously undisclosed became public. I was lucky enough to be the only reporter there for all of it, actually. Another reporter was there briefly that had to leave. So
I'll put that article, I think that came out on the 11th of June. I'll put out your Marine Corps Times article for the listeners to read, and that all revolves around the Article 32 of the battalion commander?
Correct.
So for those not in the military, you have basically at the recruit depots, you have the regimental commander, then the battalion commanders, there's four of them, and then you have various company and platoon commanders. So the battalion commander is the high middle of the rank structure within recruit training at the depots. Would you say that's correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
So what's the battalion commander, the lieutenant colonel, what's he facing charges for?
Well, it's interesting, and it's kind of, I want to make sure I'm as clear in my comments as I can be, given that there's so many moving parts to all of this. So based on the Article 32 hearing, and I, you're the military attorney, a lot of your audience has is well-versed in military law and just the legal system. I spent about 7 or 8 years of my past 13 years in journalism covering most of the courts and crime on the civilian side. So just as the big caveat there is the Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon is he's basically facing these allegations. He's obviously not had a trial yet. He could be acquitted of all these things. Just wanted to make that kind of clear and out front. But he's facing a course of conduct on becoming a Marine officer, making false statements, and a failure to obey a lawful order, along with willful disobeying a dereliction of duty.
So the Article 32 session is the military equivalent, really, of a grand jury indictment. I'm sure that when you were down there in Quantico, there's the presiding officer, you know, investigating officer kind of sits at the chair that a judge would usually sit at. And then first the prosecution puts on its case and the defense has a chance to question any witnesses put on. Is that pretty much what you saw down there?
Exactly. And in my experience, I kind of equate it for a civilian audience very similar to what the preliminary hearing, like you've seen a magistrate court on a state level, because you see this presenting and challenging. And on the civilian side, what I've experienced is you see that then be, you know, referred to if there's enough probable cause to then send it to a grand jury for a potential indictment. So, I mean, there's some similarities, there's some differences, but if you just walked into that courtroom and you had seen a preliminary hearing in a state court where I've reported before, it would look very, very similar.
Yeah, and to strip down all of the charges in this case, I think while it's written out in a couple of different ways, really what they're saying is the battalion commander allowed a drill instructor to be doing his drill instructor duties when he shouldn't have, because the drill instructor had been alleged to have had a drinking incident where he put a recruit in the clothes dryer. And when this drill instructor was on duty, that's when a young recruit jumped to his death, right?
Right. Those two incidents involve the same drill instructor or alleged to have. That drill instructor has a court martial scheduled for August. But those are separated quite a bit in time, due to some other factors, and of course involving different recruits in different companies at different periods in time. But that's exactly kind of the heart of what is happening here. In addition to that, one wrinkle that kind of gets lost, I think, in a little bit of the reporting so far on Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon, is that I believe the false statements charges, and we were not provided the charge sheet, those are not made public, and the less charges are referred. But I believe from all that I listened to in that 14-hour hearing, the false statements charges are due to a preceding command climate survey in which the lieutenant colonel is alleged to have attempted to have retaliated against a captain who spoke ill of him on that anonymous survey and then tried to cover it up or lie about it later. Again, allegations, those are also have not yet been proven.
This case has so many tentacles because going back to around 2015, we had Lieutenant Colonel Kate Germano. She had a negative climate survey that caused her to be relieved of command. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so, that kind of predates a lot of what is alleged to have happened with Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon. In fact, his battalion XO, a Major Orlando Girantano, I may be mispronouncing that, Major Girantano, testified in the hearing that, you know, when that was happening with Lieutenant Colonel Germano over in 4th Recruit Training Battalion, that Kassoon became very obsessed with and concerned with, you know, that happening to him. That if the same kind of survey results came back, if the same kind of quote-unquote toxic climate type allegations came to light on a survey with his Marines and his officers, that he could end his career or lose his career, just as Germano ended up having happened to her.
Yeah, and for our non-Marine Corps listeners, so at Parris Island, that's where recruits from east of the Mississippi go, and all female recruits, and MCRD San Diego, where I served, and I believe that's where you went to boot camp, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's where all the West Coast or west of the Mississippi people go. So we have, at Parris Island, you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd Battalion. Those are all males. And then 4th Battalion is the female battalion. And that's where Lieutenant Colonel Germano had somewhat recently, you know, it's definitely in the area she had been removed. So the battalion commander now on trial, Kassoon, he was at least aware of that and didn't want to share her fate.
It's interesting, too, and this doesn't really make it into the story just because there's so much, just only so much space we have for a print edition, and we do kind of limit, you know, things for editing purposes because you can't put everything in every story. But Germano and Kassoon basically both arrived at the island around the same time. They both came in, I believe it was either June or July of 2014, and both were, according to allegations, according to reports, and subsequent Inspector General investigations and reviews, were kind of trying to, quote unquote, clean up their battalions. There was a lot of allegations of recruit abuse that was surfacing, and both kind of went about it in their own leadership style ways. Germano's incident and later leave of command or firing in kind of a civilian way became much more public earlier, and I think, you know, from what was given in testimony, Kassoon saw some writing on the wall and kind of showed his behavior, but in a somewhat of a ironic situation, his behavior may have led to his own charges and other things down the line.
Yeah, that's the real difficult part of this, because, I mean, I was involved with, as a defense attorney, a drowning case at MCRD San Diego 15 years ago, and it was very similar, except my client was the company commander, and so you had grants of immunity and witnesses above and below my company commander client. And that exact same thing is harsh discipline, trying to clean up your battalion. Then when does that cross over into being abusive? You know, that's a real tough area.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I'll tell you, because exactly those two battalion commanders come in and they're told by either the regimental commander or the commanding general, hey, you know, you need to clean up your battalions, make sure that there's no misconduct happening. But then on the other side, there's also, well, but don't go too far. We don't want it to become negative and make it seem like you're a real tough on everybody, because that might get you relieved.
I made sergeant in the Marine Corps. I never served on the drill field other than just, you know, being a boot. And I do not envy the jobs of the drill instructors. I do not envy the jobs of their company and battalion regimental commanders. It is a strenuous. I mean, some have likened it to, you know, being more stressful than combat duty. So I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, there's a lot to be considered here.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, my company commander or my company commander client, it was the same thing. There was a drowning at the pool. It wasn't a recruit. It was a drill instructor that was becoming a, you know, a master water instructor. I forget what we called them, but he died in a morning PT incident. He drowned. And much like Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon, my client wasn't even there at the time. You know, it was early in the morning, but he was charged, or it was alleged that, you know, he was derelict in his duties. And I mean, there's so many people for that, you know, battalion commander or company commander to watch. It's a tough balancing act. And you have the same thing where the person above him, and in this case, the regimental commander, has been granted immunity, right?
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up. That was mentioned in the story. We didn't put a heavy hand on it, but we want to make sure the information was there for folks to consider. This is brought up, you know, this is not, you know, me interjecting an opinion by any stretch. This is all brought up time and again throughout the hearing by one of your former superiors and someone you had on the podcast, defense attorney Colby Bokey.
And one of the people civilian. I love more than anybody. He's a great man.
Yeah, I've heard your interview with him. He's exceptionally good. You know, in that hearing, I've seen a lot of civilian side stuff over the years. And anyway, he brought up again and again who was granted. There's eight witnesses over a 14-hour hearing, five of which had been granted immunity, and an additional sixth witness in that group was testifying under a type of an agreement, with a plea agreement, basically. And I've covered, like I said, 7-8 years worth of criminal courts on the state and federal level in multiple jurisdictions, and I've never seen that many immunities, even in federal drug cases, even in RICO cases. I have not seen that. So it took me a little bit by surprise, but not being familiar with the military justice system, as a reporter, I contacted other attorneys with experience, and one who I quoted in the article, Gary Solis, you know, a former Marine, retired Marine, is taught at West Point, teaches at Georgetown, still done military report. He specifically said it's a trend he's seeing as more and more immunities being granted. And if the numbers are off, I apologize, but he said something to the effect of there may have been perhaps 4 or 5 granted in the Haditha case. And I mean, and he himself said, and I quoted him saying, it was that kind of case, perhaps you need that. This kind of case, why do you need 5 immunities? I mean, he really questioned that.
Right. It's not like, I agree. And Professor Solis, he's great. And he goes back all the way to Vietnam as far as his knowledge base. But that's right. You could see like a Haditha, or more in Hamdaniya, the similar case that happened where there was an execution. you could see maybe a grants of immunity because you had some sort of scheme that was going on or some conspiracy. Here, it seems that the government's just saying that the Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon wasn't diligent enough in policing who was and who wasn't being able to serve as a drill instructor in his battalion.
Correct. It seems as though, you know, his battalion sergeant major and the regimental sergeant major communicated a lot about the ongoing investigation with this other drill instructor that should not have been with recruits. They're all kind of in the loop on the fact that he shouldn't have been. And somehow, and it never really was explained, somehow between all this back and forth, emails, conversations in person, and even written orders, he winds up, you know, this drill instructor winds up as the, not only the drill instructor, but the senior drill instructor and the drill instructor who's alleged to have had the direct physical contact with Raheel Sadiq, who later, like moments later, you know, leads to his death. And there's a lot more, of course, involved in that particular part of the situation. But that's all kind of part and parcel of what was discussed throughout the hearing. And yes, many people from the sergeant majors to the regimental commander down to the company commanders and other captains below were granted this immunity, kind of all circling and surrounding around Lieutenant Colonel Kassoon. So there's a lot of questions to be answered there about how this, where responsibility lies. You know.
Yeah, and this is a great, it's a great series that you've been writing on this. When's the next hearing for one of these cases that you're attending?
I don't know if I'll be attending it. Perhaps my colleague, Jeff Shogel, who I said has predated me on all this coverage. I believe the Gunner Sergeant Joseph Felix, the drill instructor in question with both the dryer incident and the recruit death incident with the slapping, he is scheduled for a courts-martial, I want to say at Camp Lejeune in August. I believe it's early August. I don't have the date in front of me.
Oh, you get to go to Camp Lejeune in August. You.
I spent 3 years there. I went through recon training there. So, it's the old memories.
Yeah, it's beautiful there at that time of year if you love sweltering heat. This has been great to talk to you today. I love hearing the portions that don't make it into the story and hearing the background. Please, either you or your colleague or both of you, I'd hope you join us again when there's some more developments in these cases.
Happy to. Of course, more information out there, the better. As I said, you know, any article has its limits, and sometimes there's different ways to approach it, and just want to make sure people are best informed. And we are, too. I mean, I accept any criticism if I ever get anything wrong in an article or there's any additional information I didn't receive or cover. I'm looking for people to let me know.
Well, and these are, you do a great job in your article, but these are difficult cases because there's so many actors. You know, you almost need an org chart to keep track of everybody.
I would argue for like a character list, like at the start of a Shakespeare play.
Right. So any save rounds or alibis, anything you want to say?
No, just anyone out there, you know, if you're interested in, I mean, ground combat issues, I covered that. I'm doing a little military justice. All of our publications, I think, are top-notch here in Military Times, Marine Corps Times, Army Times, Navy Times, Air Force Times. I'm on Twitter at @TSouthJourno. And, of course, you can probably find me on Facebook if you like, but I do more professional stuff and links to stories on Twitter.
Okay, yeah, Twitter is the majority of the listeners. That's how we interact here on Twitter. And I will make sure that I put your Twitter in the show notes, too.
Today's episode is brought to you by the good people of Casper Mattress. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to the consumer, eliminating commission-driven, inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house and has a sleek design and is delivered in a small, how did they do that, size box. I can tell you from personal experience, I've slept on the Casper mattress for a few months now, and one element that I didn't really appreciate at first until it started to get extraordinarily hot here in California, well over 100 degrees, that's when I really appreciated the Casper. It's comfortable, it is great to sleep on, and it also doesn't retain heat. I've really come to appreciate my Casper mattress even more over the past few weeks. Remember, buying a Casper is easy. You order it online, and it's delivered to your door in a compact box. The shipping's free, and in the unlikely event that you aren't satisfied with your Casper, return is free. It's available in Canada, the United States, and now in the UK. Considering we spend one-third of our lives on a mattress, it's so important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights to try it out. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/MJ and using the promo code. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's casper.com/MJ. Saved rounds and alibis. I haven't had room on the past few episodes for this segment, and for that I'm sorry, because it's truly become one of my favorite segments. This is where I answer your questions and address issues that you, the listener, have brought to my attention. I recently had the honor of attending the retirement celebration for Marine Corps Master Sergeant who served our nation for over 26 years. We were high school classmates, teammates, and to this day remain friends. I didn't ask him about putting his name on this podcast, so I'm just going to refer to him as Master Sergeant S. He gave me two important critiques about the podcast, and I'm indebted to him for doing so. First, he stated that he thought my podcast was anti-military. Nothing could be further from the truth. I see how he could get that impression because I'm often taking the military to task for areas where I think the military can improve, but I assure you, this podcast is in no way anti-military. Take the recent episodes we did on Task Force Violent. I couldn't be more impressed and in awe of Major Galvin and his Marines. Their dedication to each other, the mission, our nation, is incredible. So please know that I'm in no way anti-military. I may be looking for reforms of the military, specifically the justice system, but I couldn't love the individual Marine or service member more. Second, Master Sergeant S. mentioned that I frequently used enlisted service members when I gave an example of committing a crime. For example, I'd use Lance Corporal Schmuckatelli did A, B, or C. He's right. I should not have done that. Or, specifically, I should have mixed it up a little more. Schmuckatelli is just a generic term for the Lance Corporal you don't know in the military. John Doe. I don't want to give the impression that crimes are only committed by enlisted service members, because that's just absolutely not the case. You saw in this episode alone, we're dealing with the Article 32 investigation of a lieutenant colonel. But Master Sergeant S. is right, and I want to ensure every enlisted service member knows that I did not mean to suggest that criminality was only coming from the enlisted ranks. In fact, I should have used the following examples. General Petraeus in his extramarital affair and leaking classified information to his biographer so she could write a more flattering book about him. Or General Allen and his hundreds of email communications with socialite Jill Kelly that caused him to retire from the military. Or the numerous flag officers under investigation for their interactions with, quote, Fat Leonard. That has been an ongoing scandal in the Navy. Or General Hoss Cartwright for his leaking of classified information to the press. So from this time forward, please know that if I give an example and I happen to use Lance Corporal Schmuckatelli, I absolutely could have put in Captain Schmuckatelli or General Schmuckatelli. Please be assured that I couldn't be more pro-military. I've loved the young, brave men and women who choose to protect our great nation. In fact, the millennials, the men and women who are currently joining our services, are some of the most impressive. Most of them were preschoolers when our nation was attacked on 9/11. Yet with almost a certain probability of being in danger at some times during their career, they're still enlisting in droves. I have a boss who, his son recently joined the Marine Corps. So I'd like to say hello to Lance Corporal Gruder and congratulate him on his recent promotion. And it really is awe-inspiring to know that he was a child on 9/11. And he was without his father for numerous years as his father deployed. And yet, he joined right up. So, please know that I am listening to your suggestions. Master Sergeant S., I did not mean to denigrate the great enlisted members of our military. And just because I'm pushing for reforms doesn't mean that I don't love the military. Thanks. Until next time, out here. Military Justice is a production of Long Arc Digital Media. There are numerous people that need to be thanked for making Military Justice possible. First of all, audio. Those are the people that clean up all the mistakes I made. Hannah McCarthy, she takes care of that. Methil Talhan, she takes care of everything. She keeps the show moving along and keeps all of us on schedule. Executive producer is Dennis Robinson. You know him from Undisclosed and the wearing of underwear. And as always, Uber producer Dreadnought has my six.